Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We are live from Sports on Tap in Saskatoon for our Game 3 watch party. We'll have a few guests coming in, including, I can't believe this, and actually our next guest will probably be even surprised by this news, 100% hockey podcast host John Shannon, the great television analyst. John, you won't believe what I am told is happening. Is Drew Remendes leaving his house in the summer and coming to join us at a bar, John Shannon. Can you believe that?
Drew in a bar? Seriously?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Like, you know, I know...
His nickname is the Hermit. You know that.
Well, I know the guys on the road have a hard time getting Drew out of his hotel room watching hockey, so I knew you might be surprised that now that he might be listening, he's probably just turned the car around and went back home. That's probably what he just did.
Yeah, he'll phone it
well,
in now.
If he's not in his hotel room, he's in the hotel gym. So he lives in the hotel gym.
So. I have a question, John. So you produced a lot of shows and did that throughout your career. What's the best way of asking this? Who is the most difficult talent?
You mean other than Drew?
Yeah, other than Drew. Yeah.
You don't have to answer that.
No,
unless, of course, you really want to.
I tell you what, I loved working beside Drew. We had a great dialogue during a game. For instance, if we were at Rogers Place, we'd be sitting on the panel and we'd be talking about what does he want to talk about and what do I want to talk about. And then it was my job to talk him off the ceiling. So, because invariably, Drew decided that he was still coaching the team and was so upset when players did so many things. And I turned to Drew and I said, Drew, that's not your job anymore. Your job is to have fun and tell people why they should be enjoying this game, not to be a coach anymore.
That's fantastic.
Well, yeah. That would have been the toughest job. John, you'd have the toughest job is to tell Drew to stop coaching, because I don't think that'll ever happen, which is why we love him so. But, John, you know, when you're watching the first two games of this series, Game 3 tonight, Oilers-Panthers, how entertained are you by this so far of the Panthers and Oilers in the rematch of last year?
Well, I tell you what, it's an interesting question in the fact that it is not the greatest hockey. You know, it's not, you know, Montreal Canadiens and Red Army on New Year's Eve in Montreal, but it probably has the most tension on the ice of any hockey game I've watched in the National Hockey League for the last two decades. This is like the Thrilla in Manila. These are two heavyweight teams. They both have depth. They both have stars. And really, what they do is it's you know, punch counter punch all night long. And you see the Panthers go on a little bit of a string for 8 or 9 minutes, and then it's the Oilers' turn to do that. The ability of the Oilers to move the puck along the outside before that darn Florida forecheck gets into place,
yeah.
It is really, really fun to watch.
John, you mentioned the stars, and we've actually commented about that a couple of times already today, how much fun it is watching the fact that they're having an impact on this series on both sides, on both the Oilers and the Panthers. But in your mind, has there been a star for either team, or is it just too easy to just say McDavid, that has had the most impact in your mind?
The Oilers side, I mean, it's difficult not to pick Connor. It really is, because he's, you know, so much revolves around him carrying the puck. But at the same time, on the Florida side, it's almost a pick 'em, because when you look at what Sam Bennett has done, and you look at what Brad Marchand has done, you know, it's almost, if you take Connor out of the equation, and you know, remember when we were kids, you used to have the drafts for the pools, and it was anybody but Gretzky. So yeah. you could take Connor, if you take Connor out of the equation, then it's similar guys on both sides that are making impact. Corey Perry, Evander Kane, Matthew Tkachuk, Brad Marchand, Sam Bennett. You know, none of these guys are ever going to win the Lady Bing. And so, and quite frankly, that's how you play winning hockey, is the way these guys play it. To the edge, over every once in a while, hoping you don't get caught, and then come back and then be physical again. You know, when you look at, and look at who's scoring the goals. You know, Sam Bennett, Brad Marchand, Evander Kane, Corey Perry. These are the guys that are making a real impact on this series other than Connor McDavid.
John Shannon, 100% Hockey, a podcast, is where you can check out his work throughout the NHL season and more. But, John, okay, can we have a little discussion, as there always is, about officiating in the Stanley Cup? How would you like it officiated? Like, would you like them to get out of the way and like, because we have this debate with Drew all the time on officiating, and it's like they don't want to impact the game, but they're impacting the game by not calling a penalty, by not calling too many men, by not calling, you know, illegal interference. That is having an impact. So, John, how would you like to see
kicking a stick?
What from especially game two and some non-calls that helped out the Florida Panthers?
I actually have very little complaint about the officiating in the first two games. Because I think that if you look through blue and orange colored glasses versus red and blue colored glasses, I think you could probably pick out six situations in the game that impacted your team worse than the opposition. And I think that people in Fort Lauderdale could say the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I like a little bit of grit in the game. I like contact. This is going to sound really strange. I don't mind cheating every once in a while when it comes to hockey. Cheating, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying to win. And that's what these guys are doing. I mean, you know, for every time that we can complain about Matthew Tkachuk or complain about Sam in front of the net, let's look at what Corey's doing in front of the net. Let's look what Evander Kane did in the corner. You know, so I think that it depends on the angle with you in which you watch the game. And quite frankly, both teams are complaining about the officiating. Both teams. And that's probably the ultimate compliment when it comes to officiating, is saying if they're both ticked off, then we're calling the game at a level that both sides know what they can get away with and what they can't, and it's not a bad situation to have. Just don't miss the and this is going to sound corny, but the black and white things. Don't miss an offside. Well, solved that problem. We solved that problem with video review. Don't miss a puck over glass. We solved that problem with video review. The only issue we're going to have every once in a while, guys, you know this as well as I do, is we're going to have a goalie interference question. Mm-hmm. And so far, I haven't had an issue with what is and what isn't goalie interference. When you consider that you know, the Sam Bennett goal in game one really was a Brett Kulak trip. So, the Oilers made a mistake and challenged, and it cost them a goal. So I don't have a problem with the way the officiating is right now. But I don't have any skin in the game. I sit here and love the game the way it is.
John, one of the interesting things that and I'm guilty of it as well, with this series is the Oilers, there were a number of deficiencies within their game that were pointed out. And before every series and while during every series, you had the comments about, they can't defend, whatever it was. It kept being a narrative, and they're up against Vegas, and they're going to get killed. They're up against Dallas. Dallas is going to destroy them. Now they're going into Florida. Florida's going to. And the one thing that I think has been answered, and maybe should be put aside, and I don't know if you agree with me, is the Skinner conversation. Even though it keeps coming up, we had a caller in the last 45 minutes that went, came in and said, Skinner's going to lose him a game. He's a horrible goalie. And so I'm just wondering if they're, the doubt on the Skinner side of the conversation should go away, in your opinion.
Well, I just wish that Calvin Pickard's cousin would stop phoning in. I mean, I think Stuart Skinner answered every question now.
Yeah.
I truly do. And I also think that the team deserves credit for getting Skinner through, you know, that, you know, those mental lapses that he had. If you watch what the Oilers do when they're on their defensive game, Skinner can make the first save, but there's not very many rebounds that go in the hands of the Florida Panthers. Mm-hmm. If the Panthers do get the rebound, then there's an issue. But the Oilers have done a really good job in their own zone of making sure there isn't a second chance. And that falls on what Darnell Nurse has done, and Matthias Ekholm, and Kulak, and Brett, and Troy Stetcher when he was in there. And even Evan Bouchard, who I think has probably played some of his best hockey. He's going to make mistakes every once in a while, guys. We have to live with that. But I think as a crew, that group of six has done a magnificent job in front of Skinner, which has allowed Skinner to regain his confidence. Mm-hmm.
John Shannon with us. 100% Hockey is where you can find his podcast. We started talking about your history as a producer and executive. Hockey Night in Canada in the 80s, you got the benefit of being the Western producer, the Western side. Are you having deja vu of these orange and blue Oilers jerseys with not quite 99 but 97 and flying up and down the ice, John? Do you go, wait, I think I might have seen this before?
I think this is crazier. I really do, and a lot of it has to do with the environment that has been created at Rogers Place.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we used to think old Rexall or Northlands, whatever you want to call it, was loud. And I don't know if you guys remember, I still remember Andy Van Helleman skating up to Paul Laurio, the anthem singer, I think it was in 1985, and demanding that he start singing the anthem, otherwise the crowd was going to drown everything out. But nothing like this. Nothing like this. It has, in so many ways, I describe it now as Mardi Gras with hockey. Because when you think about the face painting, and you think about everybody wearing their sweater, and everybody with their beads on, and their wigs, it's a full-fledged party at Rogers Place. And that really, the fact that it has become that in that downtown arena has made so much of a difference to the city of Edmonton. It is, as much as I'd like to say that it's deja vu, this is 10 times louder and 10 times more fanatical than I remember what we saw in the 1980s.
John, just quickly, you and Millard do a great job. You got to make sure you keep him in line, though, right?
On the 100%. Well, you know, if I hear another story about Brandon, I may just throw up. I don't flaunt the fact that I'm from the Okanagan Valley, you know. But if I hear another story about somebody who came out of Brandon and reinvented the game of hockey, I'm getting tired of it. I really am. And you guys in Regina and Saskatoon should get tired of it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brandon, I was just going to say, Brandon, I was like, yeah, we're also tired of hearing good things about Brandon because too many
Brandon
times those Wheat Kings would.
Capital of the world, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. You guys are awesome together.
Though
that
Kelly McCrimmon is from Saskatchewan, too many times those darn Brandon Wheat Kings would just roll over Saskatchewan teams. So, yeah, to heck with Brandon. We agree, John. Always appreciate your time for us. Enjoy game three.
Thanks, Sean.
And just tell Drew the next three rounds of drinks are on him.
Okay, will do. He'll buy three Pepsis for everybody. That's John Shannon from the 100% Hockey Podcast on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. We're getting set for game three, Stanley Cup final, Oilers and Panthers series tied 1-1. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is a game time decision. The Saskatchewan Roughriders have brought in Kadeem Carey. They made a couple of signings today after some injuries in their week one win over Ottawa. One of those, the veteran running back, former Argo and Stampeder. More on that signing and some of the new faces coming into Rider Nation, getting set for week two against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Our Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray, is next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you live from Sports on Tap in Saskatoon. That's where we're hanging out tonight for Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. Also, we'll let you have, you know, Game 5 this coming Saturday also is a Rider game day. So we are doing a Saturday night main event watch party for both Game 5 and the Riders Hamilton game, with the pregame show and the postgame show coming live from Acre of 51. Boston Pizza location in Regina. That is on Saturday this week. But right now we're in Saskatoon at Sports on Tap, and we got giveaways. We got some, you know, Rock the River tickets to give away. We also have in-house prizes as well. They have some jerseys to give away.
We got fridges. We got
Sports on Tap's giving a lot away. So head over on a Monday night. Hang with us during the game. Win some stuff as you cheer on the Oilers for a game five or game three victory.
Hanging with us is, I get it. Well, that's secondary.
No, I thought that was the main premise, is to come here and hang with us, and then winning
probably
a jersey
top
and all the other
us.
Stuff. Is,
it's the prizes. We're trying to incentivize people to come down.
Well, Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray knows this well, so maybe he'll break the tie. What's more intriguing to you, Britton, hanging out with us or winning prizes?
Ooh, what a great question. You know what? They both have their positives.
Wow. Look at you being diplomatic. Look at Britton being diplomatic. Hey, I actually have a question, legitimately. Kadeem, coming to Saskatchewan, as soon as the news broke that the Argonauts dumped him, which one was it? Was it you or Jamie that said, he's on a plane to Saskatchewan now?
I think we both might have. I was joking around all last week. Was fully expecting Kadeem to come out of that Rider tunnel during practice. It just made a ton of sense right from the get-go. And with the fact that AJ Ouellette got hurt, you kind of figured it was happening.
I got wings.
I was like, if you're wondering who Locker is thanking, it is Brooke, who's just delivered him hot wings. So, Britton, of course, you don't want to see an injury, but with AJ Ouellette going down and you bring in Kadeem Carey, and he doesn't need a lot of time, he knows the system, how much does this just make sense for a team with the goals that they have this season to just go out and get the best available, the most experienced, who knows the system, and, you know, how much of it it lands in their lap? Like, this is almost a no-brainer from the hop, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, this is a team that's all in, going all in. Somebody gets hurt, they go and find faith in the tour. They want to bring someone in who knows the system and knows how to win, too. Kadeem Carey, just another guy who has a great cup ring, right, that this organization has brought in. And so it's going to help them in the long run, not just in terms of having a great running back out there, but a guy who knows how to win, a player who knows what it takes, because this is a locker room full of guys looking for their second, third championships.
It was a rough game on Thursday in that home win for injuries. When the depth chart shows up this week, what are your predictions, Britton?
With the fact they did go out and sign Kadeem Carey, that makes me think that AJ Ouellette is probably missing this week's game. We'll have to wait and see. Head injuries, you never know. They also brought in another linebacker, Braxton Hill, who was here during training camp, was one of the cuts. But he's a guy who possibly comes in. C.J. Avery missed some time in that game as well. We didn't really talk a lot about that, but A.J. Allen played a lot as a linebacker in that game. And so we'll have to wait and see there. I think Jacob Brammer should be good to go this week if they said it wasn't as serious as they thought, just on the one game, which helps kind of with Peyton Collins being hurt. But I'm just very interested to see the running back reps. And the fact they didn't bring in another defensive back as well makes me think Roland Milligan Jr. might be all right. But once again, with head injuries, you never really know, and that's what it appeared like for him as well.
Yeah, the Riders also added an offensive lineman in Darius Washington, who had a little bit of mini-camp time with the Denver Broncos, but was a Florida State Seminole for quite some time. So he played left tackle and right tackle, and he's played games at center in his college career as well, Britton. So clearly an offensive lineman with versatility. As you mentioned, Peyton Collins goes down. Jacob Brammer's a bit dinged up. So it's clear already this team is searching for depth. And you mentioned Braxton Hill. He was at camp. He showed well in the preseason game, made a couple of plays there. So here's another guy who got to hang around maybe a little bit, but he's coming back to familiar territory. But you don't want your depth to be tested this early in the season, Britton.
No, absolutely not. You kind of want to build some momentum and try and just plug the pieces as they come throughout the season, right? Not sudden trying to find veteran guys. But this is a team, right from the beginning, what do we like about this team coming into the season? Their depth. They had a lot of depth to begin with. Now they just had to add a little bit more. I still think on paper this is the best team in the West still. I still really do believe that.
So what took the biggest hit? Is it the Riders' defense or the offense with all the injuries on Thursday, in your opinion?
I think it's going to be right now the offense, because Keen Schaefer-Baker, I don't expect him to be back for a little bit. After the game, he did have a walking boot on. We saw him in the locker room, was on one of those pushing a scooter type things. That's never good to see, unfortunately. So I think the offense is going to take a big hit. But once again, I say that this team had so much depth to begin with. I just was really impressed with how Jeremy O'Day had built this roster. It feels like they've had guys who are able to step in, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, Britton, real quick, I'm just going to play a little highlight pack for Britton Gray here on the Green Zone. Just bear with me.
In the handoff, Warren. Deep low!
That was over 300 yards passing, three touchdowns, 56 yards rushing. Britton, were we wrong? Should Nathan Rourke actually have been number one on the top 50 list in the Canadian Football League after his week one performance?
No. We weren't wrong. Let's be honest. The second half, he looked great, but that first half was a very average first half for Nathan Rourke. So I need to see it this week. Was week one a case of Nathan Rourke working off some rust and being back? Or was that just an Elks team that's gone through so many roster changes, has a new head coach, figuring a lot of stuff out, and just kind of came apart in the second half? Let's see what happens week two here. If he does it again against Winnipeg, who should still have a very good defense, we'll find out real quick.
And is Trevor Harris, is it based on the play from Thursday, is he in the right spot? He was in the 20s on that top 50 list.
Maybe. I get where they put him there. You have some concerns about his health and everything. I think I would have put him a little bit higher because he was one of the top quarterbacks to end last season. When he was healthy, he was elite. Let's call it what it is. So we'll see what happens this year. But Trevor Harris, once again, he's more efficient than flashy. I think that maybe works against you in some of these lists, because when you're efficient, you don't really get on the top 10 plays, right? But hey, if you complete 80% of your passes, three touchdowns, yeah, you're a pretty good quarterback.
Well, game two is this week. Hamilton Tiger Cats practice underway tomorrow. Of course, there's going to be a lot for Britton Gray to work on when it comes to the injury report. Be glued to at GreenZoneSK, at Britton Gray on X, and he'll bring you right up to speed tomorrow, day one of practice, to get set for the Hamilton Tiger Cats on what this roster will look like. But before we let you go, Britton, let me guess. First shot tee off is a nice slice right down the middle, right? You're going to aim about 50 yards to the left and put it right in the middle.
We'll see. I've been trying to just aim a little bit straighter. Might be on the trees the first time around. We'll Usually hole two is when I give up and decide to just start playing that slice a little bit.
Oh, okay. That is
what I've heard. You should be giving everybody you're golfing with a helmet then.
He's not that bad. He's not that bad.
You told me he turns completely the wrong way when
he aims about 45 degrees left, and it comes right back to the middle every time.
So if he's trying to hit straight, then, yeah, everyone strap in.
Yeah, look out for the gallery. Have a good afternoon, Britton. We'll see you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.
That is Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray. Great guy to get a golf lesson from is that Britton Gray. But he will bring you up to date, of course, tomorrow. Rider practice day number one as the Rough Riders take it on the Hamilton Tiger Cats, who are 0-1 after dropping a game in Calgary. As we look around the week one of the Canadian Football League schedule, Montreal beat Toronto in week one. As mentioned, Calgary beat Hamilton. And Nathan Rourke in a big second half. They kind of started to put the boots to the Edmonton Elks in week one action. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers had the week off. They will take on the BC Lions in Winnipeg to open their season in week number two. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. I hope everybody's having a great Monday afternoon as we get set. We are Sports on Tap here at Prairieland Park as we get set for the Oilers and the Panthers. Game three. Any predictions? Let us know. 1-877-332-8255. Drew Roman is coming in as well. Belton Johnson on his weekly Monday visit to talk some ball. Wonder if Belton will give us a pick. You think he'll give us a pick?
I can see him having an opinion about the game. Definitely.
I bet you he's more accurate than we are, actually. Belton Johnson up this afternoon here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. From Sports on Tap here in Saskatoon. That's where we're hanging our hat for the watch party for game number three, the Oilers and the Panthers. Great giveaways in-house here at Sports on Tap. Of course, you have to be here to win, whether it is concert tickets, whether it is jerseys, fridge. They got a lot of giveaways here at Sports on
Burger
Tap.
Burger night, too.
And it is Burger.
And I highly recommend the wings. I got hot sauce on the mic sock, though.
Deluxe cheeseburger and a side?
Yeah.
Nice. Some other specials as well, if you want to come in and have a beverage while you watch hockey, which is, I hear, something a lot of people like to do during a hockey game. I know we did This Day in Sports History earlier, and we celebrated the Montreal Canadiens win. The only time Gary Bettman has ever given the trophy to a Canadian franchise was that one time in 1993. But it is also, there's another very significant day on June 9th in Stanley Cup history. On this day in 2001. One of those legendary Stanley Cup moments when Joe Sakic, remember, Joe Sakic didn't lift the cup. They were Gary gave him the cup, presented the cup, and he kept it low and just handed it over to Ray Bourque, who lifted it above his head for the first time. That happened today in 2001 in sports history.
For the wrong team, what it was. But still, you don't want to take away the work he put in that year.
Oh, my God, it actually happened. Sorry, I have some music.
Well,
Remenda has joined us here at Sports on Tap. We'll play the Royal March for Drew Remenda. Saskatoon royalty has arrived live on our location here at Sports on Tap. I can't believe. Did you hear John Shannon earlier?
No. Didn't hear Johnny. I was cutting the lawn. Wait, what did Johnny say?
I said we actually got Drew to come to a bar to talk hockey with us, and he couldn't talk for a good couple of. He's like, wait, what? Drew Remenda's going to.
That was a long pause.
His nickname is Hermit on the road. You know this, right? Like yeah. You can't pull Drew from the hotel gym or his hotel room.
Yeah.
He stays at the hotel until pretty well puck drop is when Drew arrives at the rink on the road. So
Randy Hahn, my broadcast partner, has a saying that. Drew is a rumor on the road. I'm not a big going out guy. I went out this year once because our president took us out for dinner.
Yeah.
And not Donald Trump, president of Club Jonathan Becker.
I'm glad you clarified that was the case.
Yeah.
That's a different show.
A different dinner. I don't go out much. Very happy just to be at home and put my sweats on and watch TV and be that kind of guy.
Hey, if I could do the show at my house in sweats,
you did.
Which I did for about 6 months during COVID, it was a dream come true. Really was being able to sit at home and prep dinners, having the kids around as I did the show. It wasn't that bad, actually.
The best times when we were doing the show was when Dallas Dole would send me an email, Laux needs the studio, you're going to have to do it from home today. Oh, okay. Gee.
Oh, shucks. Drew Remenda is coming up here on the Green Zone. I'll turn the royal music off for you, Drew. Sorry about that. And get to the one-minute drill here on the Green Zone. Oilers and the Panthers. Thanks, Scott. He picked up my technical glitch all on his own back in the studio. But it's the Oilers and the Panthers. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is a game-time decision as the Oilers will get going in South Florida to continue their series. The Riders bring in Kadeem Carey off the street after he was released by the Toronto Argonauts. Of course, very familiar with the Rough Riders with his connections with the Calgary Stampeders after A.J. Ouellette went down in week number one. And the Toronto Blue Jays back at it after another successful weekend. They're climbing the standings. They took 2 of 3 against Minnesota. They take on the St. Louis Cardinals. Our NHL analyst Drew Remenda coming up next live from Sports on Tap in Saskatoon. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.